Blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels. Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi, Saranam, Gacchami. Dutiyampi, Patiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam, Saranam, Gacchami. Dutiyampi, Patiyampi, Sabaha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami. Dutiyampi Patiyampi Sabaha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Yamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness, and emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the content of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates illusions, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts, the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious and boastful of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, and in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other. As the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. from your near heaven suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Help our far-flung folks to turn off that creek that's coming in. And then the next generation of testing our ability to have people participate from afar. So we're thinking that there's a few people out there testing it for us. We're thinking they can hear it fairly well, but not. And we figured out the pieces how they can participate without hideous echoing feedback through the whole room. So, the next step. So, what should we look at this morning, Todd?
Well, I'm in a really, really fascinating practice place, and I'm sensing, projecting that conditioning is piling on the backlash for this most recent. Commitment for deepening practice retreat. Yeah. And it loves backstories, and I'm seeing how it's dragging up a backstory that is so real, which is attaching it to a current story. Mm. So, yesterday morning I woke up, and I just sensed a sensation that I hadn't felt for a while, and I knew right away, like, wow, that's a familiar sensation. Mm. And then conditioning came right in with the backstory.
To attach to the sensation?
Yes. Uh-huh. And the sensation was in my left eye, I've had reoccurrences of iritis, inflammation of the eye. And 10 years ago, I had my first bout of it before practice. Mm-hmm. I was in a very dark, dark, dark room in all of life. And I had this really severe case of iritis and went to the doctors. And they said, well, what's going on in your life? And I said, well, caregiving for my dying mom 24/7. Is that anything to do with it, maybe?
Say that again.
I'm caregiving for my dying mother 24/7. Is that anything to do with it? And they went, well, these type of autoimmune conditions aren't that explainable, but the situation is it's super, super high stress, and we may attribute to that. Mm-hmm. So I started a course of treatment. Mm-hmm. And the backstory is within a month, my optometrist could do nothing. Mm-hmm. Sent me to an ophthalmologist. Another month went through. The ophthalmologist went, wow, this case isn't abating. I'm going to have to send you to an ophthalmological surgeon at our local hospital. So now I'm in month three, and the prognosis is, well, if we cannot relieve this pressure, we're going to have to do surgery. And the surgery is 50-50. You may relieve the pressure, or you may lose your eye. And you're just like, whoa. And now looking back, I'm sensing there was no mentor there. There was no adult there. There was a five-year-old,
right.
You know, mm-hmm. and about 100 doctor's visits and hospital visits. Well, the end of that story is, they eventually had to actually, instead of the topical steroids that I've been using for 3 months wasn't affecting the inflammation, they had to inject the steroid into my eye directly, and it did abate the situation. Mm. And I went clear-free for 10 years. Mm. Then last year, month before deepening practice retreat, almost to the day, it reoccurred. Oh. And that morning, I'm standing at my optometrist's office at 7 a.m. before the doors are opening. Because I now have an awareness practice, and I see it. Oh, my goodness. I'm really aware of this sensation.
Right.
Uh-huh. So I go in and I see him and he says, wow, how did you catch this? He goes, I rarely see cases in such early stages.
Huh.
And I said, oh, I just...
I'm used to paying attention to sensations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we get on the course of treatment, and this one takes about 3 weeks, and it's right up to the beginning of April, and I explain to him, geez, I'm going on retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And Monastery is isolated. I'm going out of country. Mm-hmm. Don't have the same healthcare system. I don't have the same doctor support. Mm-hmm. And he's, well, you know, I'm really...
going down to the United States.
Yeah. Right.
Crazy things with healthcare. Yeah.
Yeah, crazy things with healthcare. Yeah, at least in Canada, there's lineups, but everybody gets the same thing.
Right.
So he's like, no, I'm really confident. You're highly motivated. Mm-hmm. You've done all the protocols. Rarely my patients stay on the protocols, so mm-hmm. that's why it's mm-hmm. not successful.
Mm-hmm.
They get awareness every 2 hours. He pop in the dewdrops. And
right.
Again, it's a great awareness practice. So we got it in 3 weeks. We got it abated, and he says, you know, I'm really confident. Bring your drops with you. If you feel this, do that. If this happens, do that. Give it, you know, with your protocol, you can go at least 2 to 3 weeks
mm-hmm.
and probably get back home without doing any long term. Because again, he says, you know, this is now the fourth expert in a sense telling me in his field, if you don't relieve the pressure in the eye, there is a high incidence of vision loss. So I'm like, okay, I'm great. I get down to the monastery for last year's retreat, fly through it, no problems.
Mm-hmm.
So now here I am with a little more awareness practice
uh-huh.
and Deepak Chopra's presentation mm-hmm. of two, 3 weeks ago of quantum healing.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm like, wow. What's arising in me is, so yeah, I've got the sensations and everything, and there's five different particulars that are all occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday it was a certain level. Today has gotten a little more severe.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking, okay, out of those 60,000 thoughts we have a day, which with unchecked, before it was, oh my God, my eye, oh my hurts, oh geez, it's going to lose my eye, I'm going to lose my eye. That was pretty well, I'm guessing, the 3 months that
right.
kept it in place.
Right.
So yesterday the mentoring was, we'll heal the eye. We'll bring conscious, compassionate attention to the eye all day long. That's what we'll do.
Wow.
And the condition comes in with the stories, and immediately the urgency was, write a note to the guest master,
mm-hmm.
you know, get the posse, get the cars, get to the optometrist,
right.
let's start the protocol.
Right.
That was, and the urgency.
Yeah.
And it was, well, no, I need to communicate to the monastery, this is what's
yeah.
occurring,
yes.
but this isn't the next course of action
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, which is a really beautiful middle way that a lot of people miss, of that place of... I can just simply say what's going on.
Yeah.
Which is really, it's the relationship we have with the mentor, isn't it?
Right.
Where we can, it's that clear communication of just, hey, here's what's going on.
Yeah.
And then in that communication, what's open to us is the, you know, whatever guidance life or the monastery or the mentor might have for us.
Right. Yeah. So I reread the article this morning. Just fascinating. It's fascinating. And because my autoimmune system, my immune system is listening.
Yes.
It's listening
yes.
to all the self-talk.
Yes.
And the self-talk now is, geez, we've got a situation in our left eye
yes.
that is, it's a balance of energy that wasn't there before.
Yep.
And I'm really watching how condition he's living, pain,
yeah.
severe, and I'm just trying, the mentor comes in with, it's just an imbalance of energy.
Yeah.
I really sense that.
Yeah.
And then the mentor goes, well, you know, it's funny, I cut myself last week doing working meditation,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, all the conditioning was, oh, you better attend to that, it's going to get infected, you're going to lose your thumb, blah, blah. Well, I totally forgot about it. I didn't clean it, I didn't put polysporin, I didn't put normal things I do.
Yeah.
So the other day, I'm just noticing, like, oh, gee, you know, that it healed. I did the thing.
Right.
I didn't dress it at all.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
To think that how much attention we put on thinking we really do have control over anything.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, all that stuff that's happening in the background. I mean, just yeah. the, you know, I'm not a scientist, so I don't have any words to put to it. But just on, you know, on all those levels that we can't see.
Yeah.
All that stuff that's happening, and yet. Yeah. We stay at this little tiny surface level thinking we know.
Yeah. Thinking we know, that's so great you said that, because Deepak said one of the scariest things is that we think we know.
We think we know.
And the thing is that we go to our conditioned beliefs, and I just got struck by here, you know, we're not here
mm-hmm.
to create and cling to beliefs. And maybe, I don't know this, and I just wish the stakes weren't that high,
mm-hmm.
but I just wondering, intervening
mm-hmm.
and allowing the body to go through its natural mm-hmm. process, maybe that prolongs the inflammation. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking, how long can I sit with this?
Mm-hmm.
So does it cross the line of, oh my goodness,
yeah.
you know, we are now doing nerve damage? Or how long do I sit with this and go, bring conscious, compassionate awareness to the situation
yeah.
would it abate and just curl up on itself?
Right.
And just let the body do its own natural defenses. And Deepak talked about that. We have all these natural drugs inside us constantly being created. Mm-hmm. The problem is we go to external drugs in inappropriate doses, inappropriate times, and we're actually messing the body's natural chemical balances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I appreciate about what you're saying is that what's available to us in practice, and particularly for people who practice at the monastery, is to practice turning over, you know, decisions, if you will, kind of to practice, to life, to guidance, instead of giving it over to conditioned mind, which is what you're pointing at, is likely to happen. Well, should I do that? But is this happening? Is that happening? But just to simply pay attention, communicate, and be open to the guidance that's there.
So that leaves me with, where do I go from here? Right, but it is just listening.
Well, you laid it out, didn't you?
Yeah, I laid it out. Listening to the heart.
Yes.
Listening to the body.
Communicating, being with the mentor.
Having the conversation
be around, just like you said, you know, sending all that loving kindness to the eye.
Yes.
You know, it's like the eye is this little thing that needs assistance.
Yes.
You know, it's calling to us for whatever reason. And really, really giving all that care and attention and... You know, because it doesn't need... I mean, you picture, like, an actual person who's not feeling well and everyone running around going, oh, my God, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
This is really, really bad.
Yeah.
That's not going to help.
It hasn't been helpful in the past at all. And just I found myself, even in meditation, when conditioning was coming in, and I just... The mentor just came in, and again, I give loving and kindness to your eye. I give loving... Yeah. That was the mantra.
Yeah.
Because I don't need to hear that conditioned story of doom and gloom.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And it's not helpful to what I now have conscious compassion awareness to bring to parts of me, internal, the little subs too, the level of fearful ones, especially the young one who went through that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
He is still very traumatized by it, and I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
He was the first person at 4 a.m. yesterday morning that went, oh my God.
It's happening again.
Yeah, it's happening again, and it's 3 months, and it's hospital, and it's surgery, and this time, you know, they're going to take the eye out. And then, but then it was so funny, a little levity, though. Another one who has no interest in all this said, but that little pirate patch would be so cool. I mean, that is not, you know, to the one who's traumatized, it's not funny.
Right.
But to the one who's, just to see the subs have their own little...
There's all these different parts that a grown-up, that a mentor is required to be in, kind of in the driver's seat, if you will.
To be in the driver's seat. So that's great what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Michael.
Well, one of the things I'm looking at is depression, and which is one of my things. One of my go-to places, and also just suffering, and how if I'm not, it seems to be that if I'm not present, I am suffering. And there's not really a different alternative. I can't stop living, which seems to be like what I want to do is avoid all of this, and I can't. I'm either going to be present or I'm going to be not present and suffering.
I see. So when you say avoid all of this, meaning?
Well, Maybe it's that, as you reflect, that maybe it's that it looks like that, and what's happening is that I think that there's an alternative that will, that's not so ugly. And so what I'm actually doing is reaching for the alternative. And so maybe, I don't know, but... I don't know if that answers the question either, though. Avoid all this, as in, I want things to be easy. I want to not have to give of myself.
So you want things to be easy. You want to not have to give of yourself. And then realizing that there are kind of two ways. There's being present.
Yeah.
And there's not being present, and in the not being present, you suffer. But that there's, yeah. We kind of have to choose one of those, or one of those is chosen for us.
Yeah, and
there's no way to bypass all of that.
Yeah, and it's interesting too. I've been thinking about intellectual understanding, and like, well, one of the things that I do seem to do a lot in meditation is think about. Like, I think, so we recite this thing, mm-hmm. so about suffering and ending suffering. So that gives, somehow that gives me license to think about the recitation as opposed to counting breaths.
Uh-huh.
And how, like, an intellectual understanding is, on some level, doesn't do it.
Right.
I can get it that I'm suffering, uh-huh. and I can think about past awarenesses,
uh-huh.
and try to get back to that place.
Right.
And it's not, the only way is to be in that place.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So
the thinking about being present, and thinking about past insights, and mm-hmm. thinking about the possibility of not suffering is not the same thing as being here and not suffering.
Yeah. And at the same time, like, so we have things like Transform Your Life and Peace Quotes,
mm-hmm.
and Reminders tapes,
mm-hmm.
that we make. And those things seem to, they can pierce through,
yeah.
the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to tell if what I seem to be in a constant state of effort, in, you know, like reflecting on, I don't know what I'm reflecting on, but I'm constantly in my head. It's not that I'm not trying.
Right.
And yet, there seems to be this constant process of sabotage. So that what, yeah. I'm doing, it's like, it's, I'm in a process of suffering, even though it seems like, like the process of trying to get out of suffering,
yes.
is a process of suffering.
Can be a process of suffering, yeah.
yeah.
I wish I could remember the exact quote, because even a small butchering could really change it a lot. But it's something like, I'm pretty sure it's from one of Sherry's books, that the challenge of spiritual practice is that we're using the same mind,
mm-hmm. yeah.
that's creating the problem in the first place.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the reason that's such a, I was saying, I wish I could get the quote exactly, is that it's such a razor's edge what that's pointing at.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're taught, that using, yeah. the mind in that, right, in that way, yeah. is, that's actually not what we're going for, but at the same time,
yeah. There are times when things I'm doing seem to bring relief.
Uh-huh.
And the example that, I guess, I started off talking about depression because there was something happening with depression that kind of got at this, which was, so like, just having the, it came through that, okay, I'm depressed,
mm-hmm.
and in my experience, it doesn't get worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
There are different variations,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but this is depression,
mm-hmm.
and depression sucks, and
mm-hmm.
so it's not going to get worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
And just in that recognition,
yeah.
it's like, oh, fine,
yeah.
you know, like there's
yeah,
some
for sure.
there's some relief in that.
Yeah.
Well, so that's, I can't tell.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because, well, that doesn't seem to be any different from what I'm always doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that little thing, that, mm-hmm. that little thought,
huh.
brought some relief, and that pierced it.
Uh huh.
You know what I mean? So
I do. Yes, yeah. I think so. Or I know the experience you're talking about.
Yeah. yeah.
Those two places.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem any different, and yet that, it's like, here I am, efforting,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what I did different, and this little efforting was productive.
Yeah, well, I don't know if other people would be up for it, but I think it's a fascinating mm-hmm. topic
uh-huh.
to look at those two places where there's that mental process of like, now what's, why is this, and you know, kind of that, and then there's this thing that comes through of, you know what? I've been here before. This is as bad as it gets. Okay. And there's some relief in that. And what the, kind of what the difference is between those two places.
Yeah, and there's so many versions of that. the this is as bad as it gets. It could be some, you know, something else that it's just like, you know, like I'm not thinking of something right now, but it could be something else that brings the...
Something that comes through in the same way that a Peace Quote could pierce through the suffering, or a Transform Your Life assignment, or a email class assignment, or a something that's said in group, or...
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alex?
This is really neat because I think it really ties into what we started with, just seeking guidance.
Mm-hmm.
When I was listening to what we were talking about, it reminded me of this experience that I would have frequently when I was tending the garden, when I was the gardener,
mm-hmm.
where I was off on my own with all these stories about what was going on in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Like there were these weeds that needed to be tended to. There were these gophers that were coming up and eating this. There were these bugs that were coming. There's all this work that needs to be done, mm-hmm. and blah, 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 over and over and over again.
So it wouldn't just tell you about the gophers once.
No. I had to remind you because there was more than one gopher.
Right. And don't forget about the weeds. Oh, yeah, and then there are those gophers.
Exactly.
You know, and there's weeds and gophers
and
also.
And then there weren't gophers, there were bugs, there were things to do. Where we've got a timeline, you know, this mm-hmm. is the timeline. Mm-hmm. And so over and over and over again. And it was funny because I go through these periods where whoever was present looking at the garden would see it a particular way, and then mm-hmm. that would shift. But you know, there were these experiences where I would meet with the person who was my mentor supervising me,
mm-hmm.
and I would talk about all the things that we needed to do. There were this, and there was an action plan created, and I tell you what, nothing in the garden had changed. The gophers were still there, the bugs were still there. There were still things to do,
yeah.
but there was an immediate move of energy mm-hmm. that cleared it all out,
mm-hmm.
and I had the experience of something had actually happened,
mm-hmm.
and what had happened was I got out of it. That like I said, what the story was that I was trapped with 24/7, whenever it would shift to. There were several stories that anyone could pick up at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't have to be about the garden. It could be about, I don't know, stuff that I wanted or needed. And then it would just cycle through.
Yeah.
But it was the experience of actually getting out of conditioned mind and into the present,
mm-hmm.
saying what needs to happen, mm-hmm. what is so,
mm-hmm.
and seeking guidance from there, giving it over,
mm-hmm.
and participating,
mm-hmm.
actually doing something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, What I hear about with depression, it's like the exercise is so important for it because it's getting up out of the...
Move something.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I think that's what we offer as a practice in general, is that we offer a tangible way to mm-hmm. participate
mm-hmm.
In something that is not conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting as you were saying that, what I was seeing is it really explains the... Nothing in my life has changed, but everything's completely different.
Yes.
And that when you talked about that, you know, there you are and you're talking with your external mentor and all the stuff gets out there, and then it's the same exact garden. All the circumstances
nothing
are the same,
changed.
But something actually has shifted. Something's moved.
Yes.
And I was just thinking it kind of relates to what Todd was talking about in the beginning mm-hmm. of that, that things are happening on all these levels that we can't see.
Yes.
And as conditioned humans, we're so used to, we only deal with the things we can taste and hear mm-hmm. and smell mm-hmm. and see.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're talking about is that something actually did happen on a level we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't feel like it could have made any difference because nothing happened that I can smell, that I can hear, that I can see.
Nothing.
But something
but
real
something did
happened.
Happen.
And it completely changes it.
Oh, I tell you, that experience is mirrored for me constantly. It's like, should I ask for something? Should I not ask for something? I post a note on the board asking for, you know, dear guest master, mm-hmm. can I have this? Boom, done.
Right.
It's no longer in conditioning land where it's back and forth, no, yes,
mm-hmm.
well, you should, well, you shouldn't. You're a good person if you do. Well, they're going to think this about you
mm-hmm.
if you post
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah.
And just giving it over. And there's like it's literally moving energy.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
moving energy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dave. I was looking for myself at the difference between those two places.
Yeah.
Assuming I'm looking at the same two places.
Right.
I'm not sure. But different for me is one involves thinking and one doesn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's just the bottom line.
The one is an insight, you could say, mm-hmm. maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'd be fascinating to know exactly what that quote was.
Yeah, I'm sure. I think I probably transcribed it, so I'll see. I'll look it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it could be pointing at all kinds of different things. I mean, obviously, we're not trying to end conditioned mind with conditioned mind.
Right, exactly.
That's not what it's saying.
Yeah.
It might be saying that that's what we tend to do.
Yeah.
That it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Not sure, but it just seems like I think that's what you and Alf are talking about, too. There's, you know, people talk about his whole mind. There's this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it basically has all the answers.
Yeah, well, and I think the thing that's tricky about it is, just like Michael was pointing out, it feels like it's happening in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what the quote was pointing at, that it's all kind of, yeah, it feels like that, and yet it would be so great, and maybe one day, who knows, science will help us out with this, but I imagine if we could see it, kind of see the neurons or something, they'd be two completely different things. That thinking, you know, kind of ruminating, that kind of thing, and just that insight that flashes through.
Yeah, they're two completely different processes,
yeah.
And they don't feel the same at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
The thinking feels constricted. It's mm-hmm. It's like it really all happens up here. The awareness disappears.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just going around and around and around and around. The other one is, I was thinking about this. I've never seen it. I have no experience of it, so I don't really know. But I had this friend a long time ago who was really into wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And these forms of Oriental wrestling, which I don't know anything about, but what he would describe what would happen is the wrestlers would get together and they'd do stuff and they'd end up in this position where they were locked together and basically not moving.
Hmm.
And both of them applying enormous pressure on this physical kind of tangled up position they were in.
Mm-hmm.
And then just this intense pressure on both sides, and gradually the one that was stronger hmm. would push the other one into whatever position you get into to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was thinking about with, as you and Michael were talking about, because that's how it feels to me.
Mm-hmm.
When there's something like that, it's not a thinking,
mm-hmm.
but it's like a focus of attention,
mm-hmm.
and not letting that up. And the way of not letting that up is not thinking.
Right.
To think is to let up the pressure and to let conditioned uh-huh. mind in to kind of ease it up.
Uh-huh.
But to focus without thinking
uh-huh.
on whatever this put, like the koan, basically.
Right.
And then it, for a long time, it doesn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
It just sits
right.
there. It just...
Right.
And then suddenly it moves.
Uh-huh.
And it feels to me like it's a result of that kind
yeah.
of that kind of focus. It's not just attention, because it's awareness too, but that mm-hmm. focused attention, awareness on mm-hmm. the thing. That makes
yeah.
it kind of move like that.
Yeah, and it's tricky, isn't it? Because that, so there is a, there's a focus in it. There's a, I mean, you're talking about that intense pressure. And yet, we can get confused that's that efforting place,
mm-hmm.
which then is back up here
mm-hmm.
in that. Yeah, so it's really a, just as you're talking, I'm realizing why it's such a good practice to pay attention to the sensations, because we really can start to experience the difference. I mean, it was pointed at with the one, feels like it takes us into whatever our deal is, depression or anxiety or whatever. The other has the complete opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so even that can just be our signal to pay attention to. Even if we don't understand quite which is which and what's what, but we can, you know, it's the old, does this lead towards suffering or away from it?
Mm-hmm.
Using those as our cues.
Mm-hmm. It feels like, I mean, you could use the word effort to describe both, I
mm-hmm.
think. But
mm-hmm.
the one, the conditioned one, there's an I exerting itself against something.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, it feels like it's more like channeling.
Oh.
It's like there's an absence of an I, and that's what allows that kind of focus. Because
mm-hmm.
it's like all the energy of life goes through the being
mm-hmm.
towards that place. You know, what I just saw is it's not even really focused on the thing, on the problem or the,
mm-hmm.
it's a focus kind of on where I'm going.
Yeah, it's just seeing that too.
And that thing is basically a karmic obstruction that's in the way.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And so
uh-huh.
here's another thing that popped in. I don't know if this might be completely unhelpful, but my brother was telling me about this. Oh, was it my brother or somebody else? Oh, no, my brother. Somebody was telling me about my brother explaining it to me, because he's my access to sort of what's actually going on out there. But there's this thing, I can't remember what it's called, that people do, where there's a game they play where you're in a city and you try and get from one point to the other,
mm-hmm.
with making as few turns as possible. Mm-hmm. And so they'll actually go, you know, like up buildings, jump over roofs, you know, back down. I can't remember what they call it, this whole thing. Uh-huh. But it's kind of like that. Uh-huh. It's like, I'm going from here to there.
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna allow myself, I mean,
yeah,
you know, I will, but theoretically, to be talked out of that path into some kind of diversion. Yeah. But staying focused on that, it's like all those obstacles become, it's not like they go away, but it becomes clear the way over or through them or around them or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's that kind of, I'm going from here to there, yeah, and nobody can stop me, and yet it's not an I that's doing that. It's like focusing where life is going, mm-hmm, and it's allowing all, it's just allowing life to kind of take us there.
Yeah, and as you're describing it, it's a very powerful place, because that image of seeing, it's kind of like we talk about when we're meditating, we're not looking at something, we're seeing beyond it. So it's like you're, mm-hmm, in focusing on kind of where you're going, which is, even that's tricky language, but that you're seeing straight through the karmic obstruction. There's a way that we, I mean, that's just so powerful, because we're not seeing it as real. Mm-hmm. Even though it is, it has a force to it too that wants to obstruct us. But my attention is not on it. My attention is through it.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting thing about it, it's not being real, because that does seem, even though it seems really real, mm-hmm, that's actually the experience when you go through it. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that wasn't anything.
Well, I'm having all kinds of images of, like, you know, not adventure, what are they? Like action movies, mm-hmm, you know, as we're talking about, because that's what it's like. It's that superhero kind of, you know, going, it seems so real, and then going right through it kind, mm-hmm, of a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mentioned this a few weeks ago in group, but I've had a lot of experiences lately of that sort of thing, where these big puzzles, or sometimes little, sometimes big, but puzzles are there, and I feel like that, so I'm doing that, applying that focus and attention to it or to what's beyond it, and your conditioned mind is going, I don't know what the heck's going on here. I can't figure this out at all. I just really, I have no idea. Blah, blah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that, so that just goes on and on and on and on and on. But there's this still sort of, you know what's interesting about it? There's also an openness to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a, you know, I truly don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get there.
Yeah.
I just know I'm going there.
Yeah.
So the place I'm going is beyond this thing, wherever it is, to a place where I can see it as for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no idea actually what the straight line is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny, that energy does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's just this openness to, it's so interesting, because it also involves, you know, doing stuff and behaviors, or I might do I might process map it, or I don't know, whatever the things are, but those are in alignment with that energy also.
I mean, would you say in a sense that when you talk about that openness, that you're open to being guided to what the next thing might be that you're going to do,
mm-hmm,
about it? So there is doing in it, process mapping or whatever it might be, but it seems like that openness that you're describing is the thing that has the I stepping aside and allowing life to, which is way, a way more powerful force to come through. Because the I who's going to come in and figure it out, there we are, back in the,
mm-hmm,
the difficulty.
Yeah, I would describe it that way. That seems exactly it. That kind of, that it's like right there is where that puzzle gets resolved. It, mm-hmm, feels like effort or not effort, or, mm-hmm, will, not will.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, here's another way to talk about it. It's the will of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an individual will.
Mm-hmm.
It's a will. It's just the will. Because,
mm-hmm,
it does feel, and it feels like I'm doing it,
right,
but I know I'm not. Because,
right,
if I was doing it, it wouldn't be working.
Yeah, if, you know, I was doing it, it wouldn't be working.
And actually, there's more, a lot more evidence, clues than that, because,
yeah,
when I'm doing it, it's frustrating, I don't like it,
yeah,
I resent it.
Yeah.
I, you know, like as we described earlier, I want it to go away. I want life to be easy.
Yeah.
When it's just like a universal will, or however you want to talk about that, that's acting through me,
mm-hmm,
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's interesting you say that, because what was just occurring to me too is it's a thing of, I think it's Andrew Cohen who talks about the difference between someone who is enlightened and someone who is has a one-pointed focus on, I'm practicing for enlightenment. There's really no difference, mm-hmm, between them, and it's the same thing here, where, you know, have I burned through whatever the obstacle is and seen the straight path? No. But am I completely open and know that will happen one day? Yes. what difference does it make mm-hmm. when that actually happens? Mm-hmm. Because if I know that's, you know, one day, you know, just like anything else, I'll see through this and it's going to be fine. And in the meantime, I'm just open to it. I mean, where's the suffering in it?
Mm-hmm. So if I understand what you're saying, those two things look the same, but they're the opposites, actually.
I'm not sure if that's what I was saying.
What I heard you saying is you've got somebody who is in alignment with life, uh-huh. open to the possibilities, allowing themselves to be guided.
Yes.
The other person you've got is someone who says, I want enlightenment, and I know what it looks like, and here's where I'm going.
Well, that's true, too. That actually isn't what I was saying, but that's true, too. What I was talking about is that, so if you look at, so times in my life where I've seen through the thing, whatever it is, seen the straight course, you know, there's that amazing, open, expansive experience. And the place where I haven't seen through, but I know that I will, and it's okay, and it will all be just fine, that those two, in both of those places, there is not suffering mm-hmm. in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to get there.
You don't have to get there. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's irrelevant whether you get there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Once you let go of the I, who's going to make sure you get there? Krista. Yeah.
I think the quote is an Albert Einstein quote, and I think it's something close to, we cannot solve a problem with the same mind that created it.
I thought of that quote too. I don't think that was the one that I'm thinking of, but I'll look it up so we can. Was there one?
Yeah, I've been having an experience of experiencing contentment. Mm-hmm. And it's really a treat. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, it's not that there's not things that I want to do, because there are, but I don't need to be a different person to do them. Mm-hmm. I don't need to somehow magically be other than who I am. Mm-hmm. And which is a treat.
Mm-hmm. That's a treat too.
Yeah. And and it's all okay.
So it's like, would you say, you said there are things that you want to do, but you don't have to be a different person to do them.
Yeah.
It's like you can have the contentment now.
I can have the contentment now, and I have the skill set to do the things I want to do. And if I don't have the skill set, I can acquire the skill set.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, there are things, there's a bunch of things I realize and I don't, you know, that I'd like to learn. Mm. But I don't have to be a different person to learn them. Mm. I can just know that I want to learn to develop some facility with that.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so it sounds like maybe there would be a story that, okay, there's this thing that I don't do, but I have to change in order to do it.
Right.
And realizing I don't have to be different. I can just learn the things I need to learn to be able to do that thing.
Right. And, there's a lack of judgment. Mm-hmm. It's really a pleasure to live with it in that space. Mm-hmm. It's just funny, there's like a reticence to almost talk about it because, you know, there's like all these slams.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the red flag.
Yeah.
Which, if that were the case, then we could practice bringing the contentment there. Who knows?
Right. But I was late getting here, and I was surprised that I was late because I left really what seemed like in plenty of time. Mm. But I was really relaxed, so I drove really slowly. And then I got here, I thought, oh, I think I might be late, and which wasn't my first choice to be late, right. But I didn't matter. Mm. And then, you know, and I was thinking back over the years because, you know, I have karma with late. Mm. Karma and late and me, you know, we were like the Trinity. And so there was so much judgment about it. And it just occurred to me that what a big change to, like, have no judgment. Like, it'd be like I'll be someone, what people think of me, like, it's what I think of me. Mm-hmm.
So you mean to habitually you would go to the so much judgment, but today you notice the lack of judgment.
Yeah, and I thought, well, yeah, it was fun. I had a nice time meditating out there. And it didn't. It's still not my preference.
Well, that's the thing. That's so good. So it's not like I would have chosen it, but it's what is.
Right, and it was from such a different place, too. I think that was part of the thing that got my attention. Like, mm-hmm. usually I would be like, yeah, I'm rushing, and I'm like, but I wasn't rushing. And then I was like, huh, that's different. Also, I have to make a new time. Like, I wonder what's the real time to leave, to not rush, to get I don't even know. I'll have to experiment with what that time is, because I've never looked for that.
You can get that skill set.
I can get that skill set.
Yeah, it's just such a more relaxing, pleasant way to approach it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of just, well, let's see here.
Yeah. I just recently I taught, did some teaching as part of a yoga teacher training, and I had asked for feedback, and it's been a while, and I hadn't gotten feedback, so I emailed recently and said, did you get the feedback? And the feedback essentially was not good. I mean, like, people loved it, but they couldn't take it with them at all. It didn't. Mm-hmm. And so I had this, like, initial little reaction. Mm-hmm. And so I've been looking at it, and I realized, like, my first choice would have been if they said, oh, this is the best thing ever.
Right.
That would have been my first choice. Right. But then it's not really my first choice. Mm-hmm. Because that choice allows me to stay right where I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Mm-hmm. So then the second choice is actually the one that I'm having, which is getting to look at, you know, how to be more effective for this particular group who are, you know, real beginners.
Yeah, so that is so big. Mm-hmm. Again, that huge shift of what I actually want is the real feedback, because then it gives me something to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something to look at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And real concrete steps. And then, you know, one of the things was like, well, they couldn't relate to the handout. So, well, how? Okay.
Let's look at those handouts.
Yeah. And they're all, and it was all just like information and things to show up for and approach and learn, essentially.
And do you have a sense, what would you say makes it possible for you to have that reaction and experience with it instead of a, you know, this is not what I wanted?
Ooh, that's a good question. 21 years of Zen practice?
Mm-hmm. I suspected you would say something along those lines.
But let me see if there's something a little more specific. Well, that's definitely a contributor. But there's also... because of this what I would call this calm state of contentment, there's no it feels like there's a lack of needing to prove anything, and needing to be seen a certain way, and because I so experience the value of what I'm teaching in myself, then the challenge just becomes, okay, how do I make this accessible for other people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not like I don't need to convince anybody.
Yeah. So it's like the ground you're standing on is okay.
Yeah.
You know, however you would say that, I'm okay, you know, the practice is okay, it's all okay.
Yeah.
And that gives you such a freedom to then go out there and, you know, because otherwise, if we're not standing on that I'm okay ground, then we have to be careful and try to do things really well so that only the good things will happen. We'll only get good feedback. And
Right. It's so funny to be talking about this because, you know, it's not the kind of thing that I would say we or I usually talk about. And so there is then this kind of fear like that I'm getting ready to be slammed. And the slamming is usually like comes in the form of such intense anxiety that I can't stand to be in my own skin, and my brain doesn't function, and then everything kind of shuts down.
Yeah, it might be interesting to see if in that, if someone like the mentor is playing a part in that okayness, in that, you know, Krista's great, you know, however, whatever the language would be, no matter what, and that if that same being entity could assist, you know, if when there is a slam, you know, all that anxiety comes up, and
Maybe I could actually do something. You know how they say in the medical world, like, to do things prophylactically, you know, you do, like, do something ahead of time. Maybe I could do something ahead of time, preparation.
Yeah.
do like make a tape, a prophylactic tape, and then get into the slam.
Listen 4 times a day, 15 minutes.
Right.
For the prevention of self-hatred.
Right.
Okay. Penny.
Actually, it just occurred to me that that's what the recordings are, I think.
Yeah, I was just thinking that too.
Yeah, it's a, you remember Pepsodent and toothpaste, they have this invisible protective shield. And the tapes are, or the recordings are kind of like that.
Yeah. You're right.
So I was looking at that question about this place versus that place, you know, and the different places that was brought up earlier, and I would echo what was said, that as I was looking at it, the difference for me is whether I'm an I trying to solve the problem,
mm-hmm.
or whether the solution just kind of drops in.
Mm-hmm.
And but I was also looking at, you know, so sometimes I'm stuck in the I trying to solve the problem.
Right.
And so there's another quote from Sherry that just rose from me, which is one that essentially is, if we're loving ourselves while we're suffering, mm-hmm. we're really not suffering. We're loving ourselves.
Yeah.
So yeah. It feels like
if we're loving ourselves when we suffer, we're really not suffering. We're loving ourselves.
Yeah. Something along those lines.
Yeah. I think that's what I was, you know, trying to say when we were talking with Dave, is that that's the thing that we're left with then, if we're loving, then we're getting love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes when I try to be someone who's loving myself,
right,
that doesn't
tried.
Work either. But but what feels like in a situation like that is there's some knowledge that I am loved.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And that I can just sort of rest in that, even when this yeah. being is still trying, even when conditioning yeah. via this being
yes.
is still trying to be the one doing it.
And I think you just laid it out. Boom, there it is. There are those two worlds. It's just like Michael was saying too, mm-hmm. because, so I'm trying to love myself suffering, I'm trying to love myself suffering, and then realizing that's what's going on, and having that be okay too,
mm-hmm.
poof.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's all suddenly wonderful and beautiful, but there's a difference in that I've entered a different reality.
Yeah, there's a kind of ease in it.
And
there's
ease.
A turning of it over somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last thing that came up was that Dave was talking about sort of moving with that energy of life. There's this great quote I have on my recorder from Alan Watts about it was long, so I couldn't read the whole thing. But it has to do with, you know, anytime we set up a, what he calls a political or a spiritual scheme,
mm-hmm.
for how we're going to accomplish something,
mm-hmm.
we have to acknowledge up front it's not going to work. and he has this great quote about, you know, and he says, it's not because you're fated to fail. It's because there's no you to be fated.
Wow.
And then the end sentence is about, you know, when we sort of give it all over.
Mm.
And just kind of enter the stream, mm. then, in a sense, all the power is available. As long as we're just really just step into the stream and just enter it,
wow.
then it's all there.
Huh.
But the minute we try to
yeah.
be the one doing it, I guess the same thing.
Yeah, it sounds really similar.
Try to be the one
yeah.
doing it.
Yeah.
We just can know up front it's not going to work.
Yeah. Which, I mean, the funny irony is that once we know it's not going to work, then we're okay again.
Exactly.
Which is, and we're free to kind of play around and see whatever occurs to us and
yeah.
try different stuff. And
yeah, and as you reflect that, what I'm hearing is it's exactly that same process. It's
mm-hmm.
like trying to be the one who loves
right.
myself.
Yeah.
It's going to work, but at some point I can just turn it over.
Yeah.
And actually say, I can't do it right now.
I can't do it.
Then the pressure's off.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody is loving me.
Yeah.
You know, that something is
yeah.
loving me.
Well, what I just saw and what you said was it suddenly makes you available to
yeah.
that love,
yeah.
makes you available to that awareness, that insight, that experience of life loving you.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like the trying to love this person is the thing that blocks that out.
Yeah.
It blocks us from actually experiencing that.
Yeah. And so I'm guessing that, you know, like some of the priest quotes and stuff that are transforming life quotes, I'm guessing they basically remind us,
to,
or they draw our attention away from the struggle or something, and kind of put us in that place where we're available.
Yeah, it does feel like it's kind of back to Alex's garden thing that it. I like Michael's image of the piercing. It feels like it does, like it really, truly, literally touches something that gets reawakened. That, as you say, reminds us of.
And just one other thing that just pops up as you're reflecting that is that I think of the number of times in guidance when I've been wrestling with something and then whatever the guidance is just stops me in my tracks. And it's always that moment that things open up. And it's that same kind of thing. It's that piercing. It's that coming in from someplace entirely other than where I'm stuck. And then all of a sudden, the engine of that I'm operating within shuts down for a minute, you know, and then some other possibility opens up.
Yeah.
It's that same piercing. It's that same over here.
It's funny, you know. We talk about how the heart is so quiet, you know, but it does send us little clues, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Oh, and one other thing that occurred to me. When we were talking about sort of where that insight comes from, and how we go to our mind, and I was thinking about the Deepak Chopra, and one of the things he talks about now is the whole system thinks. You know, all those peptides?
Yeah.
Just everywhere.
Yeah.
So maybe part of the problem is when we go to our mind, there are a whole rest of our bodies providing information, but we're not tuned in there. So maybe that the insight is coming from your left eye, or the insight is coming from you know, the place that's usually anxious, and we go to our mind and say, oh my God, that's anxious, and we miss it. Maybe the whole body is saying, over here.
Interesting.
The body is providing information.
Maybe sheds a little light on why people will talk about where there's something difficult going on a sensation level or a body, and then going straight to it, because only that thing knows what it truly needs, or what will heal it, or what will, you know. So if, you know, this person over here is hurting, I don't ask him what to do about her. I need to go to her.
Yeah.
In the same way, we need to go to wherever it is, but for whatever crazy reason, you know, we're so trained to go up to the conditioned mind as the source for information.
Thank you.
I've been sitting with this image all morning as we've been talking, and I just had read it this morning, and it was actually in a little essay I was reading about writing, and the woman writing it said, you know, just stop and look up at the sky. You know, and she said, imagine the biggest sky that you can imagine. She said, like New Mexico or Ohio, or, you know, a big sky. And she said, and now picture a little dot in that sky. And she said, that's where we spend all our time. There's this whole thing available, and we spend all our time in that dot.
Yeah. It's the opposite of the focus that Dave was talking about, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, and I just pictured it as, it almost is this like magnetic pull, you know. It's like that's my karmic. It's like,
the addiction there to that little tiny dot
right there. You know, and it occurred to me that it can take me there in a couple of ways. One, the way that's most familiar is it takes me there in my all my stories about what's wrong and this and that horrible story, and you know, that's that magnetic pull to that. But it can also do it in the way I think we've been talking about, of that trying to, of, okay, well, now then, all right, I see what's wrong, so now it's the same.
Yeah, it could even be, now I'm going to see the whole sky.
Right. Yeah, it's whatever I decide is the thing I'm going to do, but it's still the same dot. It's still that same dot, and it's letting all that other stuff not be available. And
in kind of what everyone's been saying all morning, when I get into that place, you know, just going, okay, I'm fixated on the dot. Right. Mm-hmm. I really wish I could make a difference with that.
and sort of how, you know, habitual it is. I had this funny thing this morning that just was like a little metaphor for me. I was in a room in my house where there used to be more sort of shared stuff on this one space, and so this one cup would be over here, and then all of a sudden things are rearranged a bit, and I said, well, it really makes more sense for it to be over here. Mm-hmm. So lately I've been putting it over there, but then I've been finding myself coming back in there and finding it back over here, and knowing that I'm the one who put that there. And I just got was that's the habit. The habit is that it goes there.
Yeah.
And if I'm not paying attention, that's what I'll go with.
Yeah.
I won't go with the thing that makes sense, I'll go with the habit, because it's habitual. And I thought, that's what that dot is, that's habit.
Yeah.
It just pulls me there.
Yeah.
And the other thing that came to me as we were talking about that kind of trying to do it versus not, is there's this great passage that actually I put on my recorder from Sarah Jenkins' book about the site of Nirvana, where she has just come from a guidance appointment with Sherry and is talking about how, you know, I don't know, I can't do this meditation thing. And Sherry sort of just says, well, then stop trying. Mm-hmm. You know? And so she goes right in. It's like probably a session. So she goes into all this sitting and she just sits there and says, you mean I can just sit here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can just. And she just starts to cry and cries through like four sittings for all of the suffering she's gone through, all of the suffering that everyone has gone through because they thought they had to do something.
Right.
You know, and then finally she was able to sit
mm-hmm.
when it was okay just to sit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Miracle of acceptance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What I was seeing in the difference between the two places is kind of the intention.
Mm.
So if I'm doing a practice tool, even though it's a practice tool and it's something, you know, positive to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it with the intention
mm-hmm.
of it changing something
mm-hmm.
or making my experience different, better, whatever,
mm-hmm.
then that's one experience.
Right.
But if I'm doing it with the intention to see,
mm-hmm.
that's a completely different intention, and it seems like the possibility, it sounds like that's kind of what happened when it was described.
Mm-hmm.
There was just kind of like this seeing.
Yeah.
And
it really what you're describing is a difference in where your intention mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
In
exactly.
the one, your attention is on changing this, fixing it, making it better, getting out of it, whatever that would be.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other, it's just a seeing. Your attention
mm-hmm.
is on just, I don't know how you would say it, curiosity and openness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's not only where you want to go, it's where you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where I am is, I mean, that was in the sharing about the receiving the feedback.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
right.
I'm in a place that's receptive because
yeah.
I want to know how to do this in a way
that's nice.
Offers greater possibilities for people to enjoy it and take it in. Or I'm in a place where I want to have the feedback that makes me feel better right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's just such a great illustration of it. If I already feel okay in the way I want to feel, this doesn't matter that I get, because the feedback doesn't need to take me somewhere because I'm already there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And the same thing with if I'm practicing because I feel like there's something wrong with me and I need to change that and get to a place where blah 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's the intention that I would bring to my practice. And I mean, I've seen that so much when I've just seen that, that's one way to practice. And then another way to practice is just an openness to see and an acceptance that comes with that particular intention.
That's very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like one possibility for us in that is, so when I'm in that, all I can see is that darn dot in the sky. And I know there's a sky, but, you know, just a, okay, well, you know, how would I like it to be? Or what would I, and whatever that word is, practicing with that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Well, I'd like it to be open. Okay, well, let's see about open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it seems to account for the experience that was described about the everything is wrong and I just see all this stuff
mm-hmm.
and then poof, nothing's changed but everything's different kind of thing. So it is mysterious, and yet, you know, I mean, because sometimes being in the place where
I'm not aware that I really am doing this to change. If I haven't seen that, you know, I'm just practicing.
Right. Why isn't it working?
Why isn't it working?
You know. Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Thank you. Susan.
I had this image with the wrestlers. Uh-huh. First, I didn't like the image, and then I think what happens is I have an insight, like an insight makes its way through somehow, and then that other place is that jumps on top of it and begins to wrestle. Mm-hmm. And I'm so practiced in being afraid of or believing that sensation of that part wrestling that I don't stay with the insight and watching the wrestler or something. Because it goes for me with being right. So what right does is I have an insight, and then it immediately jumps in and gets and attaches itself to it and makes it right.
So that was good that you had that insight. That was right.
Well, I have an insight, and the insight itself is right.
Is right.
Yeah. So it's an interesting place to practice when someone who I know practices as well has a different, the opposite of the insight I had. Then I get really this wrestling. Well, no, before I would just become right about my insight. But now I'm a little more curious about the process because, gosh, you know, I had this, and it, when the insight comes in, it's, you know, it's that different sensation. It's like, oh, you know, relief and curiosity and interest and, oh, cool, or whatever.
Right.
But right for me is the, you know, is different than that. It's like stiff and powerful and right. You know, everything is tight.
Yeah.
But there's also a bit of power. Somebody interprets that as power. So anyway, as I was watching, I was thinking that when that, so I have this particular low-level piece of, you know, unimportant piece of content. I'm not completely identified about it being right. That I could actually watch the insight stay, you know, yeah, see if I can, if I can stay with the insight and grow its strength.
So it's like the insight stands ground as the whatever, the image, the conditioning jumps on top of it to try to wrestle it away. And normally it sounds
and
like
take it as its own.
And take it as its own. And your habit is, it sounds like, to shift the attention from the insight to the conditioning.
Yeah, to like feel that and, yeah, to take it on, to believe it, to get attached to it, to want it to feel that way again, to want to produce it, you know, want to tell people about it, want to do it my way.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's what we can do in spiritual practice. Well, everybody should practice that.
Right.
Because it's like, well, and you can be just like, hey!
Right.
Right. Tight identified righteous. You know, my other religion. I'm Christian too, so, you know, believe in Jesus. You know, just the whole thing we can all do no matter what our content is.
Yeah.
So my piece of content is low level, you know, but it's that same feeling. And I'm just curious because there's also an innocence about the insight. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure if this is true, actually. There is something that comes in with the insight that feels, it's not an innocence. I'm not sure. But there's some part of me that feels bad that someone equally as spiritual could disagree with this, because it felt so like in the moment and right.
So if I'm following, so there's an insight, and then someone feels, really likes the feeling of that. It's open, it's expanded, it's all those nice things that come with insights.
Right.
And then someone who seems equally as spiritual has an insight that feels like it's opposite from this insight.
Right.
And it feels like there's someone who, what was the word you described for that?
She feels bad and
bad
separate.
And separate.
From the other person and wrong. And so then right comes in. And her, and maybe they both come in. Maybe there's three wrestlers. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just the duality in it. I'm not sure. But
maybe it's just
that
steal the bacon game. Which was one of the images, I think, in the Voices cartoon, wasn't it? Of that, like, who's going to get the attention?
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah,
you know? So it's like they all rush in to...
Yeah, it's just like that. And then the... But I'm curious if I could stay with the...
Yeah. Well, and it sounds like you had you had an experience of that.
Well, I'm having an experience.
You're having an experience of that.
I'm having an experience of okay, you know, maybe there's no right. But can I stay in the moment and with the insight, and can that be stronger, you know, the image with this wrestler? Mm. Can I just stay with those sensations?
Yeah.
Just breathing and staying with, and not having to go with the one I'm so used to.
Mm-hmm.
And can it maybe keep me on the, you know, so we had so many images this morning, but can it keep me on that path?
Yeah.
Can I just keep staying with that in the moment, present? Because the habit is so much conditioning to go with.
Yeah, to become one of the eyes.
To become one of the eyes. Yeah, exactly. Either a victim or right, or, that's what it is. That's the habit.
Yeah, and can you stay here and just have that, I think you use curiosity, about just all that that's going to go on around it.
Right.
Because it just does.
Right.
But just stay here. Oh, wow, okay, now.
Because I think before practice that my image was the God and the devil wrestling.
Mm.
And God's got to win.
Right.
Mm. God will win because that's God. Yeah. And now, if I can just stay with God, so to speak, there is no winner and loser.
Right.
There's just tension and feeling and sensation and curiosity. And then I get attacked and then I get a victim and then, oh, wow.
That's a powerful place.
Yeah.
That's a true place of power.
It's a true place of freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not being hauled around by one or the other and trying to prove myself to somebody or hide. So, that'll be interesting. It's such good. It's always helpful to have images sometimes because if I don't, I just think.
Yeah.
I just get caught up in.
Yeah.
Yep. Some story.
Yeah, back to the piercing, something that pierces it.
Yeah.
Brings us back here.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. It strengthens us to stay.
Yeah.
With it.
Yes.
Rather than having to get away from it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's what I always thought the point was before practice.
Yeah. Builds that skill, that skill set, the muscle, the to be here.
Mm-hmm.